Lord, we praise you. You want to reveal yourself. Lord, we need your appearance, and we desire for your appearance, and to hear your voice, that you're working in us. Thank you, you've begun a good work in all of us, and you will perfect it. And you're guiding us to work together with you. Strengthen our spirit, Lord. Take away all our veils. Thank you, we have come to perfection and to fullness in you. Praise the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, it's a blessing to see all of you. But it's also a blessing to see that many brothers and sisters are joining online. May the Lord work on all of us. We are unified through the working of the Lord. And we may have this meeting because the God who is guiding the heart of man has enabled us to do so. And so we have a possibility which hasn't been there about 20 years ago to hold this meeting together with those who are not here in Stuttgart. Praise the Lord. So this is the reason why we can stand united in front of him and to open our hearts and our ears to him. We pray for one another. And if the word is shared, let us pray inwardly. It's about to hear the Lord and to look upon him and to hear him. Therefore, we have written in the outline for the meeting 2, we behold him and hear him. That's point A. Who do we behold and who do we hear? Him, him who has overcome, him who is on the throne, him who is working at all of our hearts, him who is knowing all of us, knowing what is within us, and praise the Lord, we have such a Lord. Him we want to behold and him we want to hear, and not only because it's our desire, but because it's the desire of the Father. The desire of the Father is to put his Son in the center of our focus. You can look upon many verses and read many verses. Some are written in the outline. First is Matthew 17, verse 8. I want to share it with you. Matthew 17, verse 8. In this situation, Jesus came to a mountain with 3 followers and has been transfigured before them. 3, and behold, Moses and Elijah appeared them talking with him. What did the follower think? Surely they have noticed. Moses is there. Elijah is appeared. Such an experience they were able to join. They heard many things about Moses. Probably every Sabbath in the synagogue. And Elijah, the prophet. Moses, a man which has such a close relationship and were able to stand in front of the Lord and receive the word of God for the whole nation and whole people. Such a man. And he is appearing. and Elijah, the faithful prophet. And Elijah thought he had been left alone and left in this mind, but he has left faithful. And these two are appearing together with Jesus. This is a huge update for their master, right? But this is not the case. It was an honor for Moses and Elijah to stand with the Lord. Jesus Christ can't be updated by anyone. Jesus, our Lord, is above everything. He can't be revalued. And if we say that, we do not putting Moses and Elijah to the nothingness. They have their place, they have their working, but today, today we have to look on them on the perspective of Jesus. It's showing us the way we have to see and understand them. In Luke 24, in the Emmaus followers, it's written like the scripture needs to be understood. And then there's a clarifying word out of heaven, and this was important to the Lord to say that. In Matthew 17, verse 5, while they were still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Moses is not mentioned, Elijah is not mentioned, but this one, where the Father is pleased. And of him is written, hear him. This is what we want. We want to hear him. We need to have our Lord unceasingly in our center. Nothing and no one else. Jesus Christ. The Father is steering the attention onto him, because the Lord is present within him, and all the fullness of the creation and God is living within Christ. Shortly heading to the verses outlined, 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2, Paul is saying that he does not want to know anything else but Jesus the Christ. Verse 2, 1 Corinthians 2, 2. This shall be my desire as well this morning. I do not want to present anything else but Christ, to touch him with our spirit and to open our hearts to him. This is the most important thing. It's not about, any interpretation of the verses, but it's only about touching him. We want to hear him. Colossians 1:15. Colossians 1:15, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all nations, over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. All things were created through him and for him. Verses we need to consider. All things were created through him and for him. And therefore, He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. In Revelation 5, we see a living Christ. And chapter 2, 9 and 10 in Colossians, for in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What a word, what a word, and what a Lord. For in Him dwells all the fullness of Godhead bodily. Do we desire to touch Him? We are gaining the fullness of Christ and the fullness of God in Him. We have come to fullness in Him. Switching to John 5.
Jesus spricht dort zu den, ich sag jetzt mal, frommen Juden.
Jesus is talking to the Jews there. It may sound like a strict word. 39. He says that the word you are 38, but you do not have His word abiding in you. May we have this word abiding in us. Because whom He sent, Him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me, that we want to come to Him. In this conference, we want to come to Him. They search the scriptures. I want to ask you, do you still study the scripture, or do you hear Him? Do we study the scripture, or do we hear the Son? This could seriously build an alternative. Today there is a great interest among us as Christians to hear and learn. What do we want to hear and learn? About Jesus? But it's a huge distinction and difference to hear Him. Today many things are told about Jesus and about the God's plan and about the final times, about the building up of churches, about the purification, about. Many of us as Christians are enlightened by these things. I don't want to provocate anyone, but I do want to speak practically. So many are spending so much time in the internet searching to hear or learn something about Jesus. They do not want to hear Elijah and Moses. They are not appearing to them. Who is appearing in the internet? May I ask it this way? Who is appearing in the YouTube channels? Someone. I don't want to blame anyone, but I want to show some principles which are very important to me and have become even more importantly. Many people appear which are going on stage as they who are preaching or who might preach in the name of God about any habits which you have to do today, how you do it in the perfected way. What is the result of that? If we spend so much time among these things, what has been discussed there? Almost only the mind is spoken to. The understanding or the brain. I do not want to say that our understanding is unimportant to the Lord. There are verses where the Lord opened the understanding, but the Lord has to do it. But only what is getting into our understanding will only sum up our knowledge. This is the one thing, and the other thing is, who do we want to hear? Who do the people choose to hear? Do they choose someone who is completely different to them? Most of the time they will choose someone who is somehow aligned with their own understanding of feelings. What is happening there? Who is choosing is a measure. We are always staying within ourselves. We are choosing the one we like to hear. Do you recognize it within the scripture? To choose the teachers, what we like to hear in our eyes. This is a basic principle which leads that we will only stay within us. We are only enlargening the things which are. If we are focusing on certain people, we can. Focus on them in a way which could be a way. There are many followers in the internet, many preachers, or even see themselves as prophets, they have followers. Isn't that strange to us? And then there are some which are here pleasantly, and they will be liked. The link will be shared, which you must hear, because he can preach the gospel so well, or the word. What is this? This is 1 Corinthians 1. I am for, in that time it has been for Paul or for Peter, for even for Barnabas. The internet is working exactly those things. Am I confessed 100%? If the Lord can't speak directly to us, this is the result. We have favorite channels and favorite preachers. What is happening there? It is dividing us. This is the case. And this is what we can notice. If we focus on this, we can clearly notice this. This matter of hearing divides brothers and sisters. Even in the topic of COVID, but in other things as well. If we put certain topics to the center in search in these topics, to search for answers, This is a dead end. We do not search clarification of topics, even it could be okay. I do not want to prohibit that. Questions are important, but not through the internet, where we choose where the answers are originating from. How are we clear that the Lord has spoken this? We have to come directly to the Lord. This is a huge desire of mine. Maybe this could sound a little bit strange, but this is a huge point in my heart. Did God give us the internet because we need it? Did God give us the internet because we needed to know and understand Him and understand His purpose? The answer is easy. He has given us this certain book, and not even 1970 or 80, 2000. This book is made for all Christians in the same way. And we can be very fortunate that we are allowed to have it, to have it at home. And we do not have to fear the government to taking it away. We are blessed in this way, brothers and sisters. We are blessed in many ways. We are allowed to have fellowship, to talk freely about Christ. We are able to assemble, to speak about the Word. Do we do this? Many are complaining today about taking away their freedom. Personally, I'm asking myself, do I use the freedom I have with all possibilities? We want to hear Him. We mustn't underestimate this. Please do not step into the line argumenting, but there are good things there as well. This is not what it is about. If somewhere is sour duff, I'm not interested in how much duff there is in there. Even if there's 90% duff in there, if we have 10% sour duff, it is hindering there. It is damaging. Let us open the Bible. Let us turning upon the Lord. Let us praying to Him. If you're opening the Bible, no pop-up will appear. Have you ever thought or questioned why we are never reading too long in the Bible, but are too long on the internet? That's the way we are betrayed sometimes. This should be an encouragement. We have 100% of reality, 100% of godliness, 100% good guidance. Later we will discover what we have is wonderful. Moving on to the third point in outline A, the revelation concerning the Son as the Lamb of God. Maybe some brothers and sisters have wondered about the sentence. What is written in Revelation 5 about the Lamb? Or what is the Lamb saying there? I saw a lamp which
alles, was man sehen kann in der Schrift.
In 6, behold, in the midst of the throne, God is speaking through everything which we can see in the scripture. We read earlier, like the Father is talking down from heaven, hear him. This is a little bit clearer. And in Revelation 5, we see a lamb, and this is the speaking of the Lord as well. Maybe some remember the verse in Psalms, the creation shows off the glory of God day after day. Everything which is written in the Bible wants to speak to us. And our behavior with the Bible and the scripture determines how we see the Lord. We can speak to him and pray about it. And it's good to repeat this word and to speak to the Lord in prayer, to thank him. He is the lamb. Lord, thank you. You are the lamb in the midst of the throne. Lord, I do not understand it fully, but you're wonderful. If you're reading the Bible, talk to him. Like in a way it is possible, even in the heart. Even if you're driving in a car and you're listening to the audio Bible, you can speak freely, but in the public you can't speak freely, but even in our heart. This has been an encouraging for me. The Word of God speaks in everything to us, if we are open. Now I want to focus on the wonderful Lamb which is written about there.
Hätte die Schrift sagen können,
the scripture could have said there, the Son of God has been there. The Son has been there on the throne. There are verses where it's written in that way, but the scripture is saying, and this is what John is saying too, there's a lamp. And this has showed me the Father is focusing that we are never forget. He is slaughtered. In every perspective we see him as a lion or in a lamb. We shall never forget he has been slaughtered for us and he has died for us. They're staying like slaughtered, but it's in the past, but it is reality. And in these times where these times are coming to an end, God is focusing on the point that the lamb, it is slaughtered. I want to focus on we have to see that Jesus had overcome through his sufferings. If we're only seeing the lion, we might think that he has power within itself and a position from itself. That's its origin. It has overcome. If we are thinking about the lamb in Matthew and Mark, we are somehow thinking there's a lamb who is obedient to the heavenly kingdoms, how they hit on him and slaughtered him, but we are not seeing his rulership fully. To Pilatus, he is saying he is a king. The people there only noticed him as someone the blood is running down on, and having the crown of thorns, but he is overcome. In Luke 4, where they want to throw him off the mountain, he just went through the midst of them, such a highness. Even if he is a lamb who has been obedient, he is overcome. The enemy didn't have any part in him. Such a highness and such a power to stand against the enemy. Sometimes we are feeling weak, and that the Lord has been strong as well in the time on the earth. Through his death, he has overcome fully all the mightiness. I want to read it in Colossians 2, verse 15. Having 14, it's written about how he's taken to the cross. 15, having disarmed principalities and powers. Praise the Lord, he has done it in this step through his sufferings. This is an important point to us. How do we overcome? How did the Lord overcome? In the way he hath been faithful, and in a way he had been obedient. He hadn't shouted on the street. We are also not having any reasons to shout on the street, but in humbleness and in faithfulness and in holiness, we are able to overcome. This is a huge victory about the enemy. The victory about the enemy does not lie in shouting or in any action, but the victory lays for the ones of us who are on the earth, are in the faithfulness to him, to stick onto the faith, even it is about suffering. Sufferings are combined within there. Sadly, many believers think that we do not accept any sufferings, but this is a dead end. Let's read two verses in Hebrews 10, verse
3. Wie bitte? 2, Vers 10. Ich meine den Vers, wo sagt, ihr habt den Raub eurer Güter mit Freuden erduldet.
I'm talking about the verse where he is saying to the Hebrews, you have noticed the robbery of your gods through the enemies of the Lord, and you've noticed them with joy. What do we do today? Do we call a lawyer? Maybe it sounds a little strange, but today there are many, many believers which are suffering the rob of their goods and overcome in these things because they stay faithful. And Peter says, prepare with this state to be able to suffer. And I think a perfect way to prepare it is to pray about it for those brothers and sisters which are living in another situation as we, that they may stick unto faith and they stay faithful.
Amen. 34, dann habe ich hier eine 4 vergessen. Ja. 10:34
und in 30 Hebrews 10:34. Hebrews 13, verse 4, 3. Remember the prisoners, and if chained with them, those who are mistreated, since yourselves are in the body also. I'm heading over to point B, the mighty victory of see the lamp's work through the seven spirits of God. The word is precious and we need to spend time within it. I'm not talking what he is about to do in the future, but what he is doing today in the churches. He is standing aside of them who belong to him. 1 Peter 3, verse 12.
Denkt bitte immer daran, der Herr hört Gebet. Der Herr
think and remember that the Lord hears prayer. He even hears us if we cannot express what is on our heart. The Lord is hearing our prayers. This one thing I want to point out. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Lord, the Lord's eyes are focused on us. Do not think that the Lord does not know your certain situation. You might think that the brothers and sisters can't understand your situation. This could be the case. And this could be often the case. But God is understanding us. And he is knowing us. And is seeing us. Everything which is in our heart, our fears, our sufferings, our questions, and we may appear him with them, and the Lord is hearing. Where are the seven spirits here? Revelation 1. This verse pointed out, Revelation 1:4, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was, is to come and from the seven spirits. Praise the Lord. Seven spirits. God, I would say, employed to send them out in every nation. And in all places where brothers and sisters are listening. Italy, Poland, small villages, one family. At least one of the seven spirits is appearing and joining there and is visiting you, taking care after you. Our God never let us alone. Never. And he's working the things which are important. He's not answering all the questions immediately. Sometimes his answers are a little bit foggy, but he is there and he is understanding us and is supporting us. And the second thing which we also have to talk about, is that he is examining us and purifying us. Revelation 2 and 3, they are the known chapters about the letters of Jesus to the churches. And one sentence appears everywhere. I know, I recognize and I know. 2:2, I know your works. He knows everything. And he is the one who is examining hearts. We have a saying in Germany which is about this. I don't want to dive too deep, but the Lord is examining our hearts and is watching over the things which are likely to us, which are pleasant or which cause anger, all things in our hearts. But he is examining it with helpful eyes, who wants to salvate us. Did you ever wanted to be free of difficulties you had with any other? I'm certain every one of us has ever prayed about this. The seven spirits are supporting. They are working grace and peace. If you need this, open yourself to them. Open yourself to these work. To this examining, there's also a judgment. We will focus on it in another time. It's one point I want to focus. In our body, we have kidneys, and the purpose of the kidneys is to purify the body. And this is the same our soul needs. Our soul needs purification. It has come to me in this picture how we work with dust and things which came into us. And I want to ask you, do your kidneys work in a good way? Do they purify your body fastly? If the thing stays in our body, we could be poisoned. And do you know what is helpful? Drink a lot of water. Drink a lot of living water. The third thing which is worked by the seven lampstands, they are working the seven spirits. They are working the building up of the churches. God has put on a chief cornerstone. Zechariah 3:8-9 can be linked to Isaiah 28:16. Behold, I lay down a chief cornerstone in Zion, and Zechariah 3, a stone has been laid down at Zerubbabel and Joshua. Read this, there is a chief cornerstone. Who is this stone with seven eyes? This is our Lord Jesus. He is laid down, what for? For the building up of the churches and for nothing else. And the working of the seven spirits always aims on the building up. If you're noticing something divides us, any topic or any meaning, if we're noticing this, this is not part of the seven spirits. This is the enemy aiming to divide us. And these are things we do want to have nothing in common with. Praise the Lord for the seven spirits. I'm closing with a sentence, brothers and sisters. With our Lord, we are deeply blessed.